Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This program contains dramatizations of real events. Some names and timelines have been changed. Listener discretion is advised.
One thing I try to do in real estate is to just never be alone. You never really know somebody, no matter what you do. This is your life on the line.
The absurdity of this story, I still struggle with facing the reality. There's such disbelief.
Imagining her going through that, it's an unbearable sadness.
Carl, it's Beverly. I just want to let you know I'm okay. I haven't been hurt. Just do what he says and please don't call the police. If you call the police, it could be bad.
You try not to get too involved in cases like this, but you can't help it. I can't understand why somebody would do this to another human being.
I don't have a spectrum of what I will and won't do. I'll go do anything in the world.
A bullet to her head would have been nicer than what he did to her.
But you're a human being just like I am.
I'm a human being without a conscience.
Thursday, September 25th of 2014 was an exceptionally beautiful day in Little Rock. And my mom was such a big listing agent in the neighborhood in which I lived and ran. I remember running past two or three of my mom's listing signs in the yards of these homes. At times, my mom was wildly successful. She was within the top 10 agents in our state. She had me when she was 16. So, you know, she and I, like, we got to experience things together that are a little untraditional. You know, and we ran 5Ks and 10Ks together. We went to college together. It was always fun. When I think about my mom, the word that comes to mind first is resilience, because time and time again throughout her life just overcame all these tremendous obstacles. Just trying to find her way to, you know, later in life, get her education and then begin this career.
Beverly was a workhorse in the real estate industry. She not only worked really hard and really invested in her relationships, but she was also very kind.
When my brother Chris was 19 years old, he had just graduated from high school and was in a horrible car accident that ended his life. It was certainly a tough time in our family. After my brother died, she wanted something to put her energy into to help her in the loss of my brother. And real estate being something she had always wanted to do, she put herself out there and just went for it and absolutely loved it.
Hey there.
Beverly was known for being top sales leader in our company. I know 1 year she did like $12 million in sales.
Hello, Beverly Carter.
Beverly got a call from a man named Stephen Adams. He wanted to see a property out on Old River Road.
I'll see you both then. Mm-hmm. Bye. All right. Maybe something's gonna happen today.
She let several people in the office know who she was going to meet. It was written down where she was going. Her husband, Carl, knew because she was planning on bringing dinner home from the Mexican restaurant right down the street. It's one of their favorites.
house that she was showing was in a small community called Scott, just outside Little Rock. It's kind of a farming community, a lot of farmland out there. Your nearest neighbor is, you know, several hundred feet away, several hundred yards away.
It's rural. I don't even think they have a grocery store.
One thing I try to do is to just never be alone, especially being a very rural area. When she was bedding them, she did try to make sure that his wife was going to be with him, because I think just being a woman, you feel more comfortable if a woman is present than just going to meet a man alone at a home.
Hey.
What were you doing?
I just got here a little bit early. Want to check out the backyard. It's got a beautiful view of the river.
It's really nice, yeah. Where's your wife?
Unfortunately, she couldn't make it. The boss actually asked her to stay later. But I did tell her I'd send her some pics.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Sure. This is the home. As you can see, you've got some beautiful high windows. There's lots of natural light, a very spacious room, beautiful hardwood floors. The kitchen's over here. It's state of the art. It was just renovated less than a year ago. Great kitchen island for entertaining again or having your people hang around while you cook all the food. And this is the master, which I love. It's got this faux fireplace, which is good to put little knickknacks on, and this awesome closet for storage. It's got lots of room.
I get this call at about 8:30 p.m.
Honey, it's your dad.
Thanks. Hey, Dad.
And he sounded very worried and proceeded to explain that he had been trying to call and text my mom, and she wasn't responding. I'm just kind of, you know, half rolling my eyes because I'm like, Dad, this is how real estate works. You know, this can easily be explained. But he pressed. And for nothing more than just to pacify my dad, I encouraged him to go to the home that my mom had told him that she would be showing that evening.
What?
I told him that I would, while he was doing that, drive to my mom's real estate office to see if she was there. In my mind, this was going to be resolved in 5-10 minutes tops.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Carl Sr. knew where she was going to be. She had called him earlier in the evening, gave the location, and she said, you know that house off Old River? I'll be showing that house tonight. So he knew exactly where she was supposed to be.
He sounded really concerned. I think I'm just going to run by the office and, you know, make sure she's there.
That's strange.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with you.
Okay.
Something in my head just said, you should go.
We got to my mom's real estate office, pulled into the parking lot, and it's just darkness. There's obviously no one there. There are no cars in the parking lot. It was at that same time that my dad arrived at that house. In the driveway of this house was my mom's car, and the front door was wide open to this home. And of course, no sign of my mom, no sign of anyone. And so Dad called me to tell me this.
That was when Carl Jr. said, it's time you call the police, Dad. Panic kind of set in, just a little anxious of possibly something could be wrong. Carl Sr. was very protective of Beverly. She was always really good about telling him where she was and who she was with, just to keep him from worrying about her. He was not in the best place. He was very, very worried.
Stop! Get in!
Please don't hurt me, please. I'm begging
you. Shut up! Shut up!
All right, this is what we're going to do. You're going to record a little message for your hubby, all right? And you're going to tell him exactly what I tell you to say. You got it? Got it?
Yes.
Carl, it's Beverly. I just want to let you know I'm okay. I haven't been hurt. Just do what he says. Please don't call the police. If you call the police, it could be bad. Just want you to know I love you very much.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
You brought her here. That wasn't part of the plan. Did you skim her cards? Damn it.
Okay. Where are your credit cards?
I'm in my purse.
Oh, yeah, where's your purse?
In my car.
I'll handle it. I'm gonna go get him. I'm gonna go get him.
When I arrived on scene, I spoke with Patrol Sergeant, who said that Beverly showed up to show a house, and Carl had been trying to contact her because she didn't come home when he thought that she should, and she hadn't been answering the phone. But when I went into the house, I've got a flashlight, and if you shine the light just right, you can see disturbances in the dust. You can tell somebody had followed a certain path in that house. There's a large area that was disturbed in the foyer as you first walk in. To me, it looked like somebody had laid down or possibly rolled around. Carl's on scene. The son, Carl Jr.'s on scene. Family friends are on scene. A lot of people were concerned about her, and everyone said this is not normal for her.
You know, Carl, can I get the keys to your wife's car, please?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
This is Beverly's, right?
Yeah. Did you find something?
Beverly did have her purse. I was in the car in the front seat and a notebook.
Maybe.
But the answer of whoever she met with at that house is in that notebook. The notebook was turned to this page.
WM?
There was an email address and a telephone number.
I need you to call this number into the station and run a trace on it for me.
Okay, got it. Copy.
When we ran the search warrants on the telephone number, we figured out it was a spoof number, which is a fake number that you can get by downloading an app. But in order to create it, you have to take your real phone number, create an account, and it gives you a fake number. Now, people use these fake numbers. If you want to call somebody, you don't want them knowing your real number. And law enforcement, they're able to run a search warrant on the company that provided you that spoof number. But I knew that it was going to take time.
It was in that moment that we realized Mom was in trouble.
We were trying to come up with anything where she would be, what might have happened. We're going through all these different scenarios as to where she could be and trying not to take it to the next level that it could be. The next level of she's gone and someone's taken her, wasn't ready to process yet.
Damn it.
Sorry to bother you, sir.
You an officer?
Yeah, we're looking for a missing woman. You live in this area?
Yeah, just down the court.
You happen to see anything?
I haven't seen anything, but I'll keep an eye out.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
It is actually stopped by one of our patrol officers. It's not the officer's fault. We had no description at that time of him or the car.
Crystal!
There are cops all over the place.
Already?
I got an idea. Get up! Let's go!
We have a problem. Now she knows my name.
Come on. The later it got, you could tell that the detectives were taking it more and more serious. It was just this back and forth of worry and brainstorming.
We're standing outside of the Old River Road house, trying to come up with anything, where she could have gone, where she would be, what might have happened. Maybe they drove in their car to go look at a different house that wasn't on the list. Her phone's not charged. No one has a charger. Maybe they have a different kind of phone. We're going through all these different scenarios as to where she could be.
The more and more time that goes by, you're thinking, okay, well, somebody's gotten her. Search warrants for the email address, search warrants for the telephone number. They've already been submitted, so we're waiting on the returns for that.
Oh, my God. This is Beverly.
What?
Mom? It says her battery died on her phone. Okay.
It was just the feeling of excitement and resolution. The text messages, there were three of them. The first two text messages were just an apology and an explanation that her phone had been dead.
The sigh of relief, we all just, okay, she's okay. Oh, goodness, she's got some explaining to do. I mean, just, we were all like, whew. And then the last text came in. And the last text said, like, out drinking with friends. And I kind of just wanted to throw up because I knew in that moment, A, she doesn't drink. And in that instant, we knew something was wrong. Something was terribly wrong.
This is not memory.
And it was in that moment that we knew that my mom had not only been taken, but my mom had been taken by someone that was bold enough to pretend to be her.
Anytime you're using your phone or you've got an application that's open, it's automatically sending messages out to the nearest cell tower. And it throws a ping out every 15 minutes and tells us where that phone's at. And it'll give you a radius anywhere from 200 meters to 1,000 meters. So we started getting those pings. If you follow the pings of Beverly's phone, it leaves from that house. It turns south and goes south Little Rock in just a couple of miles. And it stops at a commuter lot where people park their cars to carpool. And it stayed there for about 15 minutes.
You're all search over there. Deputy Evans, come with me.
Copy.
There was absolutely nothing there. I noticed there was a cell phone tower within just 100 feet of that location, so I knew that that phone had been at that spot. And then the phone just went dead. Somebody had turned the phone off. It was disheartening. Like, man, well, okay, what are we going to do now?
Unfortunately, they didn't find anything. They advised us that there was truly no reason for us to remain at the scene and told us to try to go home and rest for a couple of hours. I remember arriving home 2:30 a.m. and in complete disbelief. And when someone that you love is missing like this, you have this intense guilt of enjoying anything that they might not be able to enjoy. I didn't want to go to sleep. I didn't want to drink water. I didn't want to eat anything because I didn't know if my mom was able to do any of those things.
When we get home, we're left with the fact that we have a loved one that's missing and we don't know where she is. When you're left with that to sit on, your mind plays lots of really bad scenarios. The thoughts just accumulate over where she could be and why and how. And the thing that kept going through my head is, this isn't really happening.
The next morning, as the sun came up, it started this flurry of activity because it was then that people began to find out. They organized a search party that was in the geographical location of where that cell tower pinged from my mom's text messages that night.
There were over 100 volunteers. People from everywhere came. I mean, people had never met Beverly before. We all wanted to help. We wanted to do something.
Well, I felt so powerless and the world seemed so big. The options of where my mom could be seemed endless. I actually attempted early on to go and to do some of the searching. And it suddenly hit me that I didn't think I could handle being the one to stumble upon my mom. And so I quickly shifted to a role of support.
Word got out pretty quickly. Thank you to social media for helping us to spread the word. Obviously, devotion of the real estate family, all these people across the board, different real estate agents from all different brokerages kind of came together offering their support, that I think it became bigger than anyone thought it could be.
Anytime you have a case of this magnitude, the first person you always start with is the person that's closest to him, which in this case was the husband, Carl Sr. You try to figure out, okay, if he done something to her, why would he have done it? How would he have done it? And honestly, at that point, everybody's a suspect.
So how would you describe your relationship with Beverly? Is it a half marriage?
We've had problems, but that was in the past.
There was some infidelity years ago. They had issues years ago, and he actually said that he did hit her. She had made a lot of money in the past, but she had had a surgery and was unable to work for a while. Financially, they were struggling. She did have a life insurance policy.
And how much was the policy?
It was $100,000.
Well, that's a lot of money.
So I started thinking about that. Well, if he's not involved in this, did he hire somebody to do it? So you just go through the whole gamut of things.
Take my phone. Search it. Do whatever you have to do to clear me. And stop wasting time. Start looking for whoever has my wife.
Carl's not dumb. He knew that we were looking at him. His son knew that we were looking at him. And you think, okay, well, he's getting further and further away in our mind of having anything to do with this. We just had to rule him out. We start getting all the information back on the search warrants for the phone numbers, the spoof numbers, the email address. Everything just starts coming together.
So you got anything for me?
Well, actually, some other things did come in. You want to take a look?
When we got the search warrant back, that it said that the phone number and the IP address that the app was created from was belonged to Crystal Lowry. So we started digging into her background. Found out she was married to a guy named Aaron Lewis.
Aaron Lewis. This must be her Stephen Adams.
What do you think?
Is there an address for this Aaron Lewis?
Nope, but I can pull one.
Let's do it.
We discussed calling the number and ultimately decided not to do it because we didn't want anyone to know that we had figured things out. We're trying to find Beverly alive. We're hoping she's alive. You want to go 900 miles an hour. You want to find her. Hopefully she's alive. But you don't want to go so fast where you mess something up. We went to the house to try to surveil the house. And when we pulled up, he noticed that we were there. He jumped in his car and he took off. He is moving. He's probably doing 85, 90 miles an hour down a winding road. So it's everything we can do to keep up with him safely. He's actually getting away because he's going so fast. Due to safety, we kind of backed off a little bit and happened to go around a corner. And there he was, sideways in a ditch. He was going to try to run on foot. He was bloody. His nose was bleeding. Mouth was bleeding. He was like an idiot standing there. He knew he was caught.
Hey. What's your name?
Aaron Lewis.
A.K.A. Steve Adams.
I need to go to the hospital.
All right, I'm getting the car.
We take his phone from him. My phone number's exactly the phone number that we have. We got the search warrant for and showed the spoof number belonging to. Due to HIPAA laws, when he was transported to the hospital, we had to keep an officer outside. We had to stand and just wait for him. The nurse comes out and says, hey, he's gone. The officer pulled the video from the hospital, shows him running out the door and straight down the road. Obvious setback. Now we've got to find him again.
The big updates in my mom's disappearance, I found out through social media that the person of interest in my mom's case had been in this automobile accident. The first time that I saw the face of this man just immediately following a car accident. And so his face is all bloodied. And I found myself just staring, not because he had been injured, but just how could anyone hurt my mom? How could anyone take my mom? How could this young guy in this photo be responsible for this? During that hospital visit that he was able to sneak out and to get away, it just added more to the disbelief that this is even happening.
We're literally just searching for Beverly. We just want to know where she is. And this is who we're dealing with. This is what's going through my head is, what else?
I was able to obtain a search warrant for Crystal Lowry near Lewis' home. So we went and searched her house. And during that search, we were able to find a telephone in their bedroom. And was confirmed to be Beverly Carter's. The fact that her phone was there, we knew for a fact these people were involved in her disappearance. Shortly after that, we ended up locating Crystal Lowry so I could conduct my interview interrogation.
Mom, help me out here.
I told you. I don't know where this Beverly is. I don't even know who she is.
Then why is her cell phone in your house?
Aaron brings home stolen cell phones all the time. I have no idea where he gets them.
We searched the trunk of your husband's car. We found blonde hairs and pieces of duct tape.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know anything.
According to her, she knew nothing about, you know, any of this. And had no idea why we would be speeding. Had no idea why we were at the house. We're hearing it from her. She didn't know anything about him. And they were married. So you could tell she was hiding something. When we find out Aaron's name, his legal name, we run background on him. And he had an extensive criminal history. He had battery charges. He had forgery charges. He had fraud charges. So I'm able to put together enough evidence to get a warrant for him for kidnapping. We've got units looking everywhere for him. There was a witness there in West Little Rock that actually saw him and called 911 and reported seeing the guy that we were looking for.
911.
Hey, I'm sitting over here. They're looking for a guy here that was involved in the realtor being kidnapped. And this guy looks like him. And he is nervous, and he's out here at a bus stop.
What bus stop?
Green Mountain Drive in Rainwood. I mean, it might not be him. He's going into the subway now.
What color shirt and pants is he wearing?
He's wearing a black shirt and some jeans, and he went into the subway.
All right, we'll get someone out there.
Okay, now I had a guy walk out there and see him. He said they think it's him.
Okay, but don't tip him off or anything.
Yeah, he's in the subway right now.
All right, thank you.
He said he was acting very, very suspicious and looking around like he was, you know, he was hiding from someone. They immediately sent patrol units over.
Copy. That's our perp. Freeze! Hands in there! On the ground! On the ground!
And once they got there, he was taken into custody. After he's taken into custody, he's transported to the detective division. He refuses to talk to me unless I get him into a room that's not recorded. He said he would tell us everything we wanted to know as long as we put him in a room that was not recorded. So we hid tape recorders. Of course, in Arkansas, it's a one-party state. As long as one person knows you're being recorded, it's not illegal. Plus, he's at our house, no expectation of privacy.
So where's the voice recorder?
What?
Where's the voice recorder at?
We ain't got no recorders. You're not being recorded.
No gonna come back later on
if I get that. Aaron said that he did kidnap her. He admitted that. He decided to kidnap somebody and hold him for ransom. And him and Crystal agreed that the best person to kidnap would be a realtor. He says that if we give him his cell phone, he'll prove that she's still alive. Normally, we wouldn't do that, but if there's a chance she was alive, then obviously we're going to do that.
I'll let you listen to something. And I said, I'll let you listen to it, then you'll know that I'm serious. And I said that you're running out of time.
Carl, it's Beverly. I just want to let you know I'm okay. I haven't been hurt. Just do what he says, and please don't call the police. If you call the police, it could be bad.
Let me ask you this, straight up, man to man. Are you guaranteeing me this woman's alive?
Depends on how long it takes.
How long do we have?
How long can a person survive without food and water?
It proves to me that he had her. He knew where she was at. Whether she's alive or not, I don't know, but he's saying she is, so we've got to take him at his word and, you know, believe that she is alive. Aaron said that he was going to take us to where the last place that he saw her at, the place that he took her to. He actually said that when he wrecked the day before, he was actually on his way to go feed her lunch. Said he was keeping her, chained up in a house. So we headed south, 50, 55 miles away. We went and we looked in this spot and she wasn't there. She had never been there. You could tell nothing that he described was in there at all. God, I was pissed. I wanted to get back in that back seat and just squeezing till he couldn't breathe.
He had no regards whatsoever for anyone else or human life at that point. So the fact that he was such a narcissist asshole to like take all of these detectives on a wild goose chase, thinking he can outsmart them for his own pleasure, told me what a circus act we were about to be dealing with.
So we went back to the detective division where I sat back down with him in the interview room. You could tell there was just no human emotion there whatsoever. We learned that he used to work at a place called Argos. It was a concrete manufacturing company, but he had been fired. I said, is she at Argos? And he looked up at me. It's the only time I had any kind of reaction from him. And he said, oh, yeah, man. I put her in a concrete mixer. You know, making a joke out of it. And I knew right then that she was out there. Eight or nine officers went out to Argos to search the immediate area out there. One of the narcotic officers, he freshly turned dirt. So she walked over to check it, and she actually saw something sticking out of the ground, and it was an elbow. We were able to confirm that it, in fact, was Beverly inside the grave. She's bound with her hands behind her back with fluorescent green duct tape. And the green duct tape is just wrapped all around her head, from her hairline to below her chin. There was no way for her to breathe. She laid there and suffocated. It's kind of tough to deal with. I mean, you kind of sit there for a minute and you kind of go blank. I don't care how many of these you've worked. I don't care how long you've been doing this. You never get used to it. I've had to tell people that their loved one was dead. And that's probably the worst part of this job. It's just, you found her. It's not the outcome that you wanted. You know, when you sit there and I promised that I was going to find her. And I did, but it's not the way everybody wanted. So it sucks.
There's such disbelief because of the way we lost my mom. My last memory of my mom was in church the Sunday before she was taken. The absurdity of this story. I still struggle with facing the reality.
It takes a really disgusting, pathetic person to take someone out of this world the way he took her, to wrap someone's head in duct tape until she can't breathe anymore. A bullet to her head would have been nicer than what he did to her. I mean, it's pathetic and it's vile and disgusting. Imagining her going through that, it's an unbearable sadness.
I can't even begin to imagine how scared she must have been. And what thoughts must have been going through her head. She didn't deserve that. No one should have to die like that.
We were able to track Crystal's phone out there to the gravesite, able to track his phone out there to the gravesite. That's how we knew Crystal was involved in it. She agreed to a plea deal for 30 years to testify against him, and she confirmed everything that we'd already knew, plus gave us some stuff that we didn't know. The kidnapping a realtor was Crystal's idea. She said the broker realtor always had more money, so they got on the internet and they done a search. Beverly was the first one that come up.
Well, I look forward to meeting you both.
And they say, hey, I want to look at this house. Well, Beverly says, okay, that's fine. Is your wife going to be with us? And he's like, yeah, yeah. So Crystal says, yeah, I'll be with my husband. She knew she wasn't going because she knew Aaron was going to go over there and kidnap her. So he drove her back to their house, which he wasn't supposed to. So when Crystal gets home, she goes in and Beverly's laying in the bathroom duct tape. Well, there were medicine bottles inside the house, and she had seen medication bottles with their name on it, so she knew who they were. According to Crystal, they had no choice but to kill her. So he gets her, puts her back in the car, takes her to Argos, walks her out into the woods, wraps her head in duct tape, and leaves her laying on the ground. And she suffocates and dies. Next day, him and Crystal, they go to Walmart. And you can see the video. You can see somebody in the car. And you see him get out, walk in the store, and you can see somebody moving in the car. Figured it was Crystal. Her cell phone records show that she sent him a text message while he was inside the store. And it says, hey, it's a shovel. It's not rocket science, idiot. Pick one out and let's go. So you see him get the shovel. See him pay for the shovel. See him bring the shovel out to the car. They get in. Cell phone records show that they went from there straight to the gravesite. And that's when he dug the hole and buried her, while Crystal stood there and held the flashlight so he could dig the hole.
It was about money. How come you never requested no money?
Y'all fuck over and even stopped me. Two officers stopped me that same fucking night down there.
Down there?
Yeah, right at the house. This is about money. It went bad. And look where I'm at.
When he kidnapped her from the house, you know, his plan was to get her debit card on top of the ransom they were going to ask for. Didn't end up happening that way.
I made the choice that I made, but I go by the rules that society has put into effect. I'm not going to be that motherfucker you see out inside a Target with a fucking sign begging for money for food. I'll go rob a bank. I'll go carjack. I'll go do anything in the world. I told my wife, I said, you really don't know the type of person I am. I don't have a spectrum of what I will and won't do.
But you're a human being just like I am.
I'm a human being without a conscience.
I remember sitting around the table with the detectives and my family, and they gave us the option to listen to this recording of Mom that was intended to be sent to my dad, asking Dad not to call the authorities. Although it was never sent to my dad, we chose to listen to it. And I'm glad we did, in a way, so we could hear her.
Carl, it's Beverly. I just want to let you know I'm okay. I haven't been hurt. Do what he says, and please don't call the police. If you call the police, it could be bad. Just want you to know I love you very much.
Even in those moments, I think that she demonstrated what a beautiful soul she was. And these people were still so calloused enough to be able to dehumanize her, to treat her like nothing but just a vehicle to money. And when that didn't work, they were so easy to just discard her.
She was kind, and she was sweet, and she was fair. She was wholesome. She was our anchor, and just genuinely one of the best people.
Losing my mom has fundamentally changed the family. Her house was always the house that we gathered at for holidays. My dad lost his wife of almost 34 years. My dad is forever changed. My dad is a sweet man, a sweet broken man. They didn't know my mom. This was about two awful, selfish people that saw my mom as the vehicle to a better life, and they were willing to do anything to make it happen. It just, I think, speaks even more so to the evil of these two people and how little they care